Pastor Ray Bentley says Jesus wants us to come to him by faith.
I want you to know that first we put our faith in Jesus and confess him, and then he gives us the wonderful confirmation of experience. Now, quite honestly, if God wanted to, he could just have sent Jesus burning and dazzling seven times like the sun, and everybody go, well, obviously he's the Messiah. There's no, okay, what else can we do? But it wouldn't necessarily mean that we had given our hearts to him.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Word-of-mouth testimonies are the most powerful form of communication, and we can use our testimony to share the gospel with other people. But today, Pastor Ray points out the people must come to the Lord by faith, and their own experience of the Savior will follow. Let's find out more. Here's Pastor Ray to begin.
Let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 16 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Peter shares an experience that he had that was the most incredible experience of his entire life. It changed him forever. He says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." This is what Peter saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Greek word, we saw the coming of the Lord, is parousia, and it means the glory of his coming. Peter, James, and John were with Jesus when the Shekinah glory penetrated through the body of Jesus Christ and through his clothing and his hair and his face. Was more brilliant than lightning. He was glorified in their presence. Now, amazingly, we know that that glory was always there, but it was veiled to men. His glory would certainly overflow in all of the miracles that he performed, but no one had ever seen the spiritual, supernatural glory that dwelt in, upon, and around the Messiah, and not even all the 12. You know, Jesus, there were the multitudes who followed him for, you know, miracle after miracle, but inside of that were the 12. But even inside of that was another very small, select group that I think about a half dozen different occasions, Jesus said, hey, from the 12, okay, Peter, James, and John, just you three, come with me. I have something I want to show you. And these three were given some very special insights and privileges. So they saw this glory that happened up on the mountain. You remember, Peter, it was such as you can only imagine, the glory of God, and then the voice of the Father speaking, saying, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Oh, what a powerful experience. And then there were actually two others that were there. It wasn't just Peter, James, and John and Jesus, but there were two others from the Old Testament on that mountain. Who were they? Moses and Elijah, representing the law and the prophets. So they had this conversation with Jesus. I mean, the law was fulfilled in Christ, and through Elijah, the prophet, he fulfilled all the prophecies. So here I want to talk about what is the significance of the Transfiguration. There are three things quickly that I'd like to go through. Number one, the Transfiguration confirms Peter's testimony, his personal testimony, about Jesus as the Messiah. Peter now saw the Son of God in all of his kingly glory, And as I mentioned, heard the voice of the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this happened right after the incident where Jesus was with the 12. It was up in a high mountain, which is probably in the north of Israel. We think it's Mount Hermon. And he asked the disciples, this is after 3 years of ministering. So it's kind of their graduate test for being disciples. So he says, okay, who do the people say that I am? Well, some of them say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Some of them say you're Jeremiah. Some say that you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the other prophets. Okay, but who do you say that I am? And immediately Peter spoke and he said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And immediately, Jesus, I feel his pleasure as he says to Peter, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has made this known to you. That is such an amazing and a wonderful thing, because every one of us here, whoever of us, if you know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, you have had a divine revelation from the Father. It comes from the Father. He opened your eyes. You didn't figure it out, but it was revealed to you. Now, what's interesting is, so Peter makes that confession. All the other disciples say, yes, we also agree. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then he says, okay, Peter, James, and John, come on, I want to show you guys something. And they go up to the top of the mountain. Jesus begins entering into prayer. The mountain is filled with the cloud of God's presence. God speaks. Moses and Elijah are there. And Jesus is lit up with the glory, literally, as Peter writes it, of the glory that shall come in the second coming of the Messiah. Where Revelation 1 verse 7 says, and every eye shall see him. I believe it was Isaiah the prophet that says, when the Messiah comes, his brightness will be seven times the brightness of the sun. Start with the sun shining at its strength at noonday. Now double it, triple it, quadruple it, on up. I mean, it's just, God dwells in light so bright it is unapproachable by men. Peter saw this and then he says, oh, this is so amazing. Let's build three little, you know, tabernacles up here and like little condos and live up here forever. It was a mountaintop experience. But the Lord said, no, you have to go down. I want you to note that first we put our faith in Jesus and confess him, and then he gives us the wonderful confirmation of experience. Do you know that there are many people that say, nah, I don't want to do that. Hey, yeah, you want to prove to me who you are? Show me that big dazzling light, and then I'll confess you. Now, quite honestly, if God wanted to, he could do that. He could just have sent Jesus burning and dazzling seven times like the sun, and everybody go, well, obviously he's the Messiah. There's no, okay, what else can we do? But it wouldn't necessarily mean that we had given our hearts to him. And therefore, he separated his coming into two phases. And the first time he came and his glory was veiled, hidden. Why would God do that? He wanted to see who really loves me, who really wants to worship me, who really wants a relationship with me. His glory was hidden, though it slipped out in his miracles and the beauty of his teachings. But ultimately, what he came armed with from heaven that was divine was the way he loved. The way he loved his Father and the way he loved us. And then when he went to the cross, that was the epitome of the love of God. It even literally, when Jesus was lifted up on the cross 2,000 years ago, those 6 hours, dying as the sinless Lamb of God for the sins of the world, even the angels bent over. These are the things angels desired to look into. Their angelic jaws dropped open. They had never witnessed. They had felt the love, but they had never seen such love as when Jesus, as he himself said, greater love hath no man than this, than that he lays down his life for his friends. And so he wants us to believe in him. First, you confess him, and then comes the experience. Then comes the signs following. Then comes this wonderful confirmation. So Peter is sharing his personal experience with all of us, which is pretty cool. And if I could just add a word about personal experience, I would love to share with you the experiences that I have had that are of a supernatural nature, that are personal between me and the Lord. What I have seen, what I have felt, what I have heard is incredible. And by the way, I am now to the point where I don't just believe, I know. Yes, I still believe. But I not only believe, I know. I know who Jesus is. I know he is the Son of God. I know he died for me. I know he is risen. I feel his life inside of me. I know he's coming back. I know he is going to bring his kingdom here to the earth. Amen? And you can know it. You can know it not just in your head, but you can know it as an experience. But the one thing that I would say, when you do share with people, I mean, people, you know, I've done everything. I've shared the four spiritual laws. Law one, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. I've seen people come to the Lord. Then I've grown in my studies of the Word, and then I can share. I can do the Romans road, you know, all of sin, falling short of the glory of God, and go through Romans and give the gospel. And then I've argued with people and debated and shown them in prophecy and varieties of things. But the one thing that has been very powerful and effective is when I share my personal experience. Nobody can tell you what you felt, what you saw, what you heard, what you went through. It's your life. You're the expert on your life. And when people start sharing from their heart, their own personal experience, I have found that, and the emotion and the truth of it's coming through your personality, they kind of respect that and they will listen to it. Peter is here sharing a personal experience that he had on the mountaintop, the transfiguration. He's saying, guys, I am telling you, he is the Messiah. And let me tell you about the Messiah that we didn't even know. As the glory of God, the Shekinah literally emanated, burned through his skin. And I saw it. I saw the glory that will come when the kingdom comes. So share your testimony.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. It's a privilege to hear from our listeners and hear how they found hope and direction, even in the most trying times.
Dear Pastor Ray, in the past, I had a lot of problems with alcohol, which led to my incarceration, but it also led to freedom, set free in Christ, and that far outweighs anything in this world. It's funny how God knows best. It's ministries like yours that help me to know, learn, and understand better, and helped me grow and mature. Now I try to help others and pass it on. It's an honor to be able to write, and thank you for what you do.
How have Pastor Ray's daily studies touched your life? Would you write him and let him know? Send an email today to ray@raybentley.com. Again, that's ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, the second thing about the Transfiguration, it also had a great significance for Jesus as he drew near to Calvary. The Transfiguration happened right before the last trip to Jerusalem, before the last Passover and the Last Supper. It was right before that. In other words, it wasn't just for Peter, James, and John to, you know, have this experience and verify all of the things that Jesus had said and taught, and yes, he is the Messiah, and look at the glory of God. Wow. It was also for Jesus. I think that the Father was allowing, you know, for Jesus, how many people that lied about him and didn't believe him and challenged him and everything else, and he is the Messiah. How hard on, you know, he was fully man and fully God. That's the mystery of the incarnation. Not that he was half man, half God. He was fully man and fully God. So how he must have wanted for people to know. And I believe that the Father said, all right, I'll let you take the three that are closest to you up to the mountain. I'll let them see who you really are from the inside out. And so there Jesus is and relating and hearing his Father. And the Father says, my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I believe it was the Heavenly Father's way of strengthening Jesus for the great sacrifice that was to come when he went and laid down his life for the sins of the world. Both Moses and Elijah were there, and it reveals that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. How is the Jewish law fulfilled? What does it look like? It looks like Jesus. The prophets, all those prophecies, there's no doubt who he is and that he came from heaven to reveal himself to us. So the transfiguration was very significant for Jesus as he drew near to Calvary and to strengthen him for going to the cross. Thirdly, the transfiguration was a picture of the second coming when the Messiah reveals his glory. Jesus had promised the disciples that some of you will see the kingdom of God in power. And so read with me Luke chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And there it was, you will see the kingdom of God. They saw the coming of the Messiah and his glory that shall come in the last days. Now, in verse 16, look back there at verse 16. Peter says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." There were false teachings. Now, this was written about 67, 68 AD, approximately. So if Jesus was crucified around 32 AD, let's say, it's been, you know, between 30 and 40 years, almost 40 years. And already there were false teachings that had begun to deny the promise of Christ's return. That had begun to deny, in fact, there was another teaching that started going around, because obviously travel was not the same as it is today, and Christianity is now spreading, you know, beyond Israel to all of Europe. There are people that had never been to Israel, they'd never seen Jesus, it's all word of testimony, and so forth. So there were some that began to teach, saying, well, yeah, you couldn't deny all the miracles and the testimonies of the healed people walking around, but they began to say, but he didn't, because of their background in Greek thought, they said you can't mix the physical world with the spiritual world. Jesus was wholly spiritual. And so they began to teach that when Jesus walked, because he looked like he had a body, but he didn't really have a body, and they said he didn't leave footprints. That he had, there was no physicality to him. And you say, well, what was that all about? Well, because their dichotomy, that separating the spirit world, the physical world. Well, then once they denied that he didn't have a physical body, then they began to say, well, then of course he didn't need to die. He didn't, you know, die on the cross and all that stuff about the blood. No, that's all just symbolism. And he's a presence or a consciousness or whatever. The seeds even of the New Age movement were planted 2,000 years ago. There's an old saying that if it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. The truth has always been around, and yet from the beginning it has been attacked. The Greek world, the Roman world, and if I might add, even the Jewish world, had many fables, legends, stories about the mystery meanings of life. And Peter was worried about it. He goes, no, Jesus was in the flesh. He had a body. I saw him. I touched him. He was nailed. I was there. I'm an eyewitness. And he was glorified. John said the same thing. Another one who was on the mount, he said, anyone who denies that Jesus came in the flesh is of the spirit of Antichrist. The whole point of the resurrection and the hope for human beings is that a human being came from heaven and died and resurrected so that we all have the hope that all the graves can be broken open and we can live forever with him. That's the whole point. So that we're not just floating consciousness, you know, little bubbles floating around. There's a reality to it. There's a kingdom that is coming. Peter said then, and the Spirit says to us today, do not be deceived. Let no one take the hope of Jesus from you. Hold on to him for dear life. Hold on to him as a real person who was born in Bethlehem of a virgin, And yes, the mystery of godliness is great, that God was manifest in the flesh, but hold on to Jesus. Amen? Come what may, do not let go of him. Love him, follow him, worship him. The Holy Spirit is all about lifting up Jesus to us. So now, three saw this. James, John, and Peter. James, who was up on the mountain, saw the transfiguration. Did you know he was the first of the apostles to die as a martyr? John lived a long time, but they put him on exile in Patmos. Here's what happened. Church historians say that they took John. He was the oldest and the last living apostle. They tried to kill him by heating up a big bowl of oil, boiling oil, and they threw him in. And as they threw him in, he sat there waiting to die and be consumed, and he just sat there, and then it was just kind of like a warm jacuzzi on his body. So he sat there looking at him like, hello? And they said, oh my goodness, this guy should have died. If his God protected him from that, get him out of there, and let's just put him on some island and leave him alone for the rest of his life, because who knows what might happen to us if we harmed him. And while John was left on that isle, he suffered greatly because he was cut off from the rest of the body of Christ. But while he was there alone on the Lord's day, he was caught up in the Spirit and had a vision and a revelation that he wrote. It's the last book of the New Testament called the Book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ and the Second Coming. But he suffered greatly. Peter suffered all during his ministry. He got beat up, thrown in jail, don't preach in Jesus' name anymore. He'd come out and do it again. And now here he is old, writing his last letter, and soon to die as a martyr, crucified even upside down. For he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified as my Lord was. So Peter, James, and John learned by experience that suffering and glory go together. And that the Father's special glory rests upon those who are willing to suffer for his name's sake.
Well, there's more to come from this study in 2 Peter. Pastor Ray Bentley has more to share as he continues here on Maranatha Radio. But if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and ask for A Trustworthy Prophetic Word. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for a gift of any size. Just mention the title, A Trustworthy Prophetic Word. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 2 Peter on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available an encouraging booklet of yours right now called Finding Vision for Your Life. What kind of vision are you speaking about in this resource?
We're talking about a vision that goes beyond ourselves. We have our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own ambitions, our own desires. But as a child of God, one of the greatest gifts that we can ever receive is finding a vision in our lives that is directly from the Lord. And that can happen for anybody who is a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ. God gives us divine vision, heavenly purpose for our lives. So that's why I wrote this booklet, to inspire people, to encourage people, and to lead them into the scriptures for some of the prophets, such as Isaiah, who had a vision that was so powerful and so clear prophetically of the coming of the Messiah, the Prince, 700 years even before he came. And, you know, the Lord wants to give us a vision for our lives, a heavenly vision, a heavenly calling. We have a heavenly Father, and he has a unique heavenly calling and vision for each individual child of his.
All right. Well, if you'd like to step up to this next level in your walk with the Lord, I hope you'll contact us today for a copy of Finding Vision for Your Life. We'll send you this booklet to say thank you for your gift of any amount. It's your support that allows us to bring you Pastor Ray's studies each day. So we hope you'll help make them possible with your donation today. And be sure to ask for the booklet, Finding Vision for Your Life. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order online at raybentley.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 2 Peter. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.